Yes, that's a beautiful melody of song. Well done. Last week we looked at the traitors driven from the temple, and before that it was a triumph entry. This morning we're going to look at Jesus' authority is questioned. And if you want to read in advance for next week, we're going to look at the parable of the vine dressers. And all of this unfolds during the week, the Holy Week. And so the messages are leading up to this, as what events took place during the Holy Week. Of course, we're not at the Holy Week yet, but we're moving in that direction. And the things that I'm sharing with you in this series leads us up through the Holy Week. So we have a few more weeks to see the events that Jesus was involved in and the things that took place. And if we better understand what Jesus went through during the Holy Week, all the testing and of his authority, and all the events that took place leading up to the last evening with the disciples of the Passover, it helps us better understand our lives and how the Lord is able to give us his perspective of life itself and the things that we encounter in this life. And the purpose for him going to the cross, dying for our sins. So, you know, when we take the Lord's Supper together, it's to remember his sacrificial death, his atonement, propitiation, as KJV tells us. So all of this is very important for us to understand so that we will understand and be able to share with others who may not understand about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his death. So if you will look with me in Luke chapter 20, I'll get this going again here. There we go. Luke chapter 20, verse 1, which says, On one of the days, while he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders confronted Jesus. And they spoke, saying to him, "Tell us, by what authority you are doing these things? Or who is the one who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you a question, and you tell me. What baptism of John from heaven or from men?" They reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say," Jesus will say, "why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. In verse 8, and Jesus said to them, "Nor will I tell you what authority I do these things." In this week of Jesus' earthly life, this section of Luke, it uses a series of dialogues of controversy between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. There was always questioning Jesus' authority, even as a Messiah, knowing that Jesus testified that he was sent from God, the Heavenly Father, they still questioned him. And the outcome of Jesus' cleansing of the temple is the religious leaders, and that's what I shared last week, again rejected him and intensified the conflict between them. And Jesus had the normal religious atmosphere of the temple, which led the religious leaders to the question of his authority. Now, Jesus' authority is of supreme importance, and they should have understood this. They need the law, they need the Old Testament, but yet they still question Jesus. And by what authority are you doing these things is taken from all the four Gospels, which are the synoptic Gospels, which would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the leaders asked two questions. By what authority was he acting, and who gave him that authority in verse 2? So the first question, to help us to better understand where they were coming from, the first question was, it dealt with the kind of authority Jesus was using. And of course, we know that Jesus has all authority on heaven, in heaven and earth. And then what he was a prophet. The second question dealt with the king of authority was he using. Was he a prophet? Was he a priest? Or was he a king? And we sung about that this morning. And the second question dealt with who was backing him. Did Jesus believe that he was acting on his own and that he was acting for some or some group? That was the question. So the obvious implications here that he was doing his work with same authority as from John the Baptist when he came and preached Jesus Christ and him being baptized. So this morning, let's look at the questions related to the basis for his authority here in verse 1 and 2. Going back last week, we talked about the cleansing of the temple. It was a dynamic event that both captured the attention of the people and aroused the anger of the religious leaders. That's what happened. And the fact that Jesus daily made temple visits, And he made it his headquarters because that's where he did ministry. That's where he came together to meet the people and to teach them about him, himself, and who he is, and that he was a Messiah. The fact that Jesus came daily to the temple, his headquarters for ministry, only made the members of the Sanhedrin even more angry. And that's why they decided to question him. What authority do you have to do these things? That's what they asked Jesus. And if you do have the authority, who gave it to you? Now, they wanted to push our Lord into a dilemma. They wanted to try to catch him in a dilemma so that they no longer, or no matter how he answered, he would be in trouble. I think sometimes they forgot who they was talking to, right? Of all, Jesus of all knowledge. And Jesus sometimes answered their question with a question. And sometimes that's the best way to do it, right? To get down to the nitty-gritty of things. The chief priests claimed that their authority from Moses for the law set the tribe of Levi apart to serve in the sanctuary. That was where they was coming from. The scribes were students of the law and claimed their authority from the rabbis whose interpretations they studied. So, yeah, they knew the law, but they didn't know Jesus Christ had the main authority. The elders of the Israels were the leaders of the families and the kindred, and they was chosen usually for their experience and their wisdom. They wasn't using it wisely there, though. And all of these men were sure of their authority and were not afraid to confront Jesus. Now, but Jesus has the final authority, right? He does. Now, our Lord's wise approach as he turned things around and put them completely in defensive. First of all, he asked a question. Secondly, he gave them a parable. Jesus taught parables in many, many different ways. And it, you know, when you use illustrations or things to make it clear, they still didn't always get it. And then he quoted prophecy. Reminds me when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and then the Spirit led him out into the wilderness. And you know, he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights by Satan. And what did Jesus do when he was tempted? He used scriptures. He quoted prophecy here. Prophecy that the leaders should have known about. And they did. But they still didn't give Jesus the authority that he rightly deserved. Then in each of these approaches, he revealed the sins of the nation of Israel. He revealed those to them. And then secondly, the question relating to the recognition of the authority in verses 3 and 8. Now Jesus took them back to John the Baptist for two reasons. Because they had heard about John the Baptist. They had heard that he came preaching for the remission of sin and that he was a prophet. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And so they took him back to, Jesus took them back to John the Baptist for two reasons. First, John had pointed to Jesus and introduced himself to the nation. And that's in John chapter 1. So their rejection of John was actually a rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then secondly, it is a spiritual principle that if we obey truth we already know, then God cannot reveal new truth to us. That was their thinking. So why answer their questions when they had refused to submit to John's message? Why? Well, now, it was the religious leaders who were in the dilemma. No matter what answer they gave, they were in trouble. They decided to play dumb. The best thing for them to do, right? And not to answer at all. So they were deceitful in asking the questions and dishonest in the way they avoided answering the questions. Even if Jesus had given them the answer, their hearts were not prepared to receive it. In our world today, as we think about the gospel being presented and throughout all the nations and those that maybe in our world today that don't recognize Jesus as a Messiah or as if he's the Christ. In many nations, you know, we know, like in China, in places like that, underground churches are worshiping and growing in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, are being saved in communist nations today, and are being persecuted. And still today, we still have situations like this where Jesus' authority or churches are not being recognized for their belief in God. And here we see the deceitfulness of these leaders, knowing that they should have Jesus Christ and allow him to be worshiped. So if they had disobeyed God's message given by John the Baptist, they would disobey the message by God himself, his son. And that's the theme of the parable that Jesus was telling here in this message. So the Jewish authorities wanted to know what authority Jesus had to cast the money changers out of the temple to teach the word. Instead, answering directly, Christ countered with a question about whether John the Baptist's ministry was of God or not. Since they refused to acknowledge or disown Jesus' forerunner as a forerunner, and this was due to political reasons, they deserved no further revelation from Christ. And Jesus was saying to these leaders, if you will but acknowledge what the Spirit of God is revealing to you, he will lead you into greater truth. And then you will clearly see that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. You know, Jesus wanted to meet them unconditionally. And in our world today, you know, as we share, as we go about sharing the Jesus Christ, the gospel to others, and even though they don't understand, you know, their questions, going back to how Jesus used Scripture to meet or answer questions or to reveal his deity to the people who questioned him, you know, we have that same opportunity today, that questions. You know, this world is looking for a deliverer. And what a better time of the year to be able to share and explain to those who question. You know, I was talking to somebody just this week about creation and how things come about and so forth. Not really be able to understand, but you know, there's a lot of experimental things going on within the world today, and it started back in the early 60s and 70s, and finally they give up. It's like drilling to the center of the earth, you know, to find reasons for creation, how it happened. Well, one person in this group, and one of it was the Soviet Union, and part of it was the United States, as they was drilling, understand to see the magnitude of the structure of the earth, said, you know, it didn't happen by just science or circumstance. There had to be a greater power. Someone that wasn't a true believer in another country, Russia, understood that it had to be of something greater power. So here we see in our world today, you know, as we approach the Holy Week and the things that are coming to us, are the things that Jesus Christ shared with these leaders to help them understand where authority really comes from. So when we look on Sunday, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he was held as king. And he still is king. Amen? He is king. He is the ruler, authority of all things. And then on Monday, as he cleansed the temple, he takes action as a great high priest. All of these things are unfolding. And then on Tuesday, as he answered with tremendous discernment and wisdom, every question hurled at him, he will show himself to the prophets like no other. He is a prophet, he is a priest, he's a king. We sung about that this morning. He's all three, these offices. Only Jesus can and does hold all things together. And I hope as we continue to go through these series of messages that we can understand and see the importance how each event leads up to the crucifixion. And next week as we look at the parable of the vineyards, it's those chief rooters and scribes that Jesus is referring to as the vine dressers, as those servants as they brought Jesus to trial and crucified him for the sins of the world. So as we think about the Holy Week and as we prepare our hearts for this, you know, the Lord is really trying to teach us through his word the authority that he has. And the Father, the Holy Spirit, as he works in and through this world, helps us to identify Christ as the true Savior and Messiah of the world. You know, what a great witness that we have an opportunity to share through these next weeks, and as we enter into the Holy Week, the name of Jesus, the precious name of Jesus, the authority he has. All authority is given to him in heaven and in earth. What great authority he has. Illuminating authority that helps us better understand in our trials and our hardships that we go through in this life are minimal to compare to what Jesus experienced through the Holy Week that he went through. It humbles us. It humbles me when I think about that. And as I read, I encourage you to read all the way through Luke, the Gospels, the events that took place leading up to the Passover. It will illuminate your heart. It will melt your heart to see the love, the unconditional love that Jesus had for all of these leaders, for all of the people, the compassion that he had. It will change your life. It will give you a different perspective of God and his love for you and me. It'll help us better understand why Jesus said, all of this do in remembrance of me, because he gave his life, a life that we cannot give ourselves because of our sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you today that you show us your insights, your perspective of the scriptures. And Lord, how you were questioned. But you always had the right answers. And Lord, we can have the right answers too as we learn the scriptures, as we meditate upon your word. And we can better understand how to give an account, as Paul says, should anyone ask. And Lord, we don't have to defend your word. Your word defends itself. All we got to do is just to be able to share it in a way that you give us the discernment by the power of your Holy Spirit to be able to give an account, a witness, should anyone ask. And Lord, we thank you that as we approach the Holy Week, which is just a few weeks away, and we see these events unveiling before us, that we can go back in our hearts and our minds and re-give account and know exactly what took place. Lord, I praise your holy name this morning. I thank you, Lord, for each one here. And I pray that as we prepare each day leading up to your death, burial, resurrection, Lord, that we too, like the disciples, as they were standing and watching you ascend back into heaven, and you, the great commission that you had given them to go and tell others, Lord, that will open our hearts and our eyes, just like it did the disciples, and they realized, yes, this is real, this is true. Now we understand what Jesus was trying to teach us and tell us. But we've got to be in your word. We've got to be reading and studying and preparing our hearts for that great day, the resurrection, the day that we will celebrate. Lord, whatever the decisions are this morning, I just pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, reveal to each one of us clearly the changes that we need to make in our lives, decisions that we need to make. Lord, may they all be within your will and for your purpose. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.